with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on a cold Monday evening, and good to be here. We got a great crowd out. Boy, a couple of victories bring out, but we've always got a great crowd down here. Those folks have supported this show and this team all season, and certainly some good reason to support them on Friday and Saturday as the Lakers win a couple of hockey games. Damon Witten's with us. We'll get to talking to the coach in a moment. Chris Sabol's not here tonight, so we don't have anybody from the Antlers to come in and tell us what's going on here, but lots of interesting things happening. You can give the Antlers a call anytime, and they'll let you know what the specials are, etc. And they're certainly in the phone book, so that shouldn't be a problem for you. Before we get started tonight, I don't know, it's one of the most difficult things. I was afraid all day how I was going to broach this subject, but I'll just bring it straight out. The Lakers lost a tremendous Laker today. Gil Soames passed away this afternoon. Gil's gone, and you know, I've been preparing myself for this one for quite a while, but I don't think there are very many people around Laker hockey more loyal, more honest, and more of an upstanding individual than Gil Soames was, and he shall be missed, and not only by the team and the players and the coaches, but by anybody who knew him. And he's struggled the last month or so, and even longer than that, a couple of months, and he did pass away this afternoon at tender care. So we'll start off by our condolences to the family and to Marge and to everybody who was a friend of Gil Soames. And we'll get into the hockey right now with a 1-0 and 4-2 sweep of Bemidji State on the weekend. Damon, a big weekend for the Lakers. And Gordy Dayfield today was named Defensive Player of the Week for the job he did. 76 saves he made in the two games. And I don't know if he really had all that many shots, but he did a good job for us again. And Lakers get a sweep.
Well, you bring up a hot-button issue there. I thought our shot clock counter there on Friday night was a little quick on the trigger finger. But, you know, he's certainly playing very, very good hockey. I know there's some record about the amount of saves he made in that first period. I don't think it's anywhere close to that. I think they're going the wrong side a little bit. But doesn't take anything away from what Gordy's been doing. I mean, he's been at a very good level most of the year, and we've all seen him since Christmas, how good he's been playing and what a job he's done, and the credit to Gordy for working hard and continuing to get better. And, you know, Coach Aubrey was obviously, you know, an important hire to work with that position. I've talked a lot about how, you know, what a critical position. It's like a quarterback or a pitcher. If you don't have specialized coaching for that position, then I don't think you're doing that position justice. And so, you know, credit to those guys. They've got a great relationship. Not only Gordy's growth, but if you see Pete and Aaron Davis in practice, I mean, they've gotten so much better and they're pushing and getting better. But so Pete's done a very good job with our goaltending group, and you know, Gordy's played at an extremely high level and deserves the accolades he's got. You know, it's not a one-man show either. You mentioned the shot totals, and I don't know if they're Coach Aubrey might be up there paying some of those guys off or something like that. But, you know, part of that, our team's done a good job defensively limiting some of the grade A chances against. You know, I think you mentioned, Bill, I don't know if it was after the show or after the game, just some shots from a non-dangerous area, from high, from outside. And those are things we give up. Even some of their stuff in tight, you know, the way we play, we have Gordy and our goaltenders have a responsibility to take short side. As guys are attacking, we try to not allow the puck to switch sides of the ice. So, you know, that certainly helped Gordy, I think. Our defensemen, our young defensemen, our team defense has really cleaned up and gotten better, and that certainly helped him as well. But he's done a great job.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's been strong all year. He was great down in Florida. And, you know, since the Christmas, the holiday break, this team's 4-2. And, you know, before that, we were 3-17. So, done a great job and played some good hockey against some good teams. Minnesota State, Mankato, ranked number one in the nation. Yeah, two losses, but two good efforts there too. And that just adds up to a much better second half.
Well, no question. I mean, you mentioned the 4-2, and you know, you go on the road to the number one ranked team in the country, and you know, it's a one goal game before a bad turnover on the second night. You know, and Friday night we've talked about the roughing there and really didn't give ourselves much of a chance. And it was a one goal game in the third period on the road before some roughing situations and had to kill off eight penalties. But, it's been good. It's been very rewarding. You know, our captains have done such a good job of moving us forward. You know, really a great credit to Andrew Domet, Stephen Perfetto, and Chris Ciotti, our seniors, and then Eric Draplix in that leadership group as a junior. You know, it could have gotten ugly. It could have gone the wrong way, but our guys have continued to move forward and get better and buy in and do all those things. And we've seen great growth. I mean, some of the things we're seeing, we're very pleased with. We're certainly not there. We certainly have a ton of work to do. But it's nice to get a little reward there, to earn some good wins and, you know, give yourself a chance. You know, I think early in the year, everything was such a struggle, but, you know, we're going down to Bowling Green and we can go in there and beat this team. And they're a great team and we've got to play a nearly a flawless game, but, the steps we've taken have really, been positive to see.
Yeah, Bowling Green's next up this weekend. We'll have both those games for you on Yes FM and on Friday and Saturday nights. And we'll talk at length about Bowling Green in a second here. They're a pretty good team. They just got a split up at Michigan Tech. But the Lakers did beat them last season in there. We're looking back January of last year. We beat them 5-3. So it's not like we can't go in there and beat them. We have guys on our team right now who have had success at Bowling Green, and we'll bring that up in a second. I want to keep on this past weekend for quite a while here, though, because a sweep at home, it's the first time in almost a year that we've won two games at home, and that's a big deal, and it really didn't gain us much in the standings, unfortunately, because both Anchorage and Huntsville, the teams we're competing with down near the bottom of the WCHA standings, they both swept as well.
Yeah, a real topsy-turvy weekend in the WCHA. And, you know, I hate to think of if we didn't take care of business, you know, the picture we'd be looking at. So, you know, you certainly wanted help. I thought Anchorage going into Fairbanks would be a real tough weekend for Anchorage. And, you know, Mantha obviously had a huge weekend in goal, was the rookie of the week. And, you know, sounds like he was a bit of a difference maker up there as well. But yeah, you hope to climb the ladder and gain some ground. It didn't happen. So, you know, we've got to go on the road now. You talk about splitting on the road. So we've got to go on Friday night and find a way to win a hockey game on Friday and then, you know, see where the chips fall on Saturday night. And I think we're there. I think we're good enough now to do that. I'm not sure I could say that a month and a half or 2 months ago, against an opponent maybe like Bowling Green or going into North Dakota and some of the fatigue at that point, but we're fresh. You know, one thing I've really liked about our team, you know, even at Mankato, we played four lines pretty consistently down there, and in Mankato and certainly this weekend against Bemidji, you know, their fourth line just had limited minutes, and you know, we can roll lines and feel good about it, and then we kind of wear teams down a little bit and stay after it. So I like that about our team. I like our conditioning level finally. I like the way guys are playing and buying in, and our defense has been very good.
Yeah, I was impressed this past weekend. I think there, and we've got a lot of questions from the fans who are here in the building tonight. We'll get to that in just a few minutes here, and some of those concerned subjects we're talking about right now. Just to get back to the league for a moment, Gordy was named the Defensive Player of the Week, 76 saves in the two games, and that's the second time this season that Gordy's been named. He was Rookie of the Week earlier in the season. Blake Tatchell from Alaska Anchorage was named Offensive Player of the Week by the WCHA today. He had 3 points on the weekend, but his 2 assists helped win the game on Friday night. In fact, he assisted on the game winner there. And then he scored the game-winning goal in overtime on Saturday night to beat Alaska. Big sweep there for that team. And Coach just mentioned a moment ago that their goaltender, one of the best names in college hockey, Olivier Mantha, rookie, he was named Rookie of the Week for 80 saves on 83 shots. So Alaska certainly threw the puck at him, and he came up big, and that's why they won those two games. So Olivier Mantha is the Rookie of the Week, the goaltender from Alaska Anchorage. So,
and Bill, just getting back to Gordy there for a second, I don't want to make it the Gordy Dayfield show, but, you know, 3 shutouts on a team that plays 4 yes. or 5 defensemen every night, freshman defensemen. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And, so he's done a great job, and, you know, we need that. We need him to continue that consistent level. I mean, today, a couple fans in the room were at practice. I thought it was tremendous. We had a very good practice today, and Gordy is really feeling good. So hopefully we can keep him rolling at that level.
He's been really good all season. It always amazes me. I talk about it all the time. How many fans think we need to put Magariotis in there, or we need to try Aaron Davis. You know, it's like that's a shortcoming, and that is not a shortcoming on this team right now. Speaking of shortcomings, Luke Sandler, tremendous weekend. 2 goals on Saturday night, and you know, he did exactly what you want him to do. He went to the front of the net. In fact, every goal you scored on Saturday night was a deflected goal. from somebody who was in the right position in front of the goal.
Yeah, getting to the paint so critical. You know, Rich Mitro, Saturday morning we come in and you know, we talk about the film we watched and the rosters and the lineup, and we wait for Matt McKelvey on injuries. And going into the weekend, my mindset was we play Luke one game. He had the layoff, you know, the separation from the team, so I thought his game conditioning wouldn't be there. You know, I really like him against Bowling Green because he's a big, strong kid like Bowling Green is. And so my mindset was Luke would play one game and then we'd, you know, we'd take him out and he got some game time, game conditioning. And Rich Mitro felt very, very strongly that he played well, that he, you know, he makes us a better team. And so, you know, Rich really went to bat and felt strongly that Luke should stay in the lineup. Good thing, you know, he was right on that. So, credit to Rich for sticking to his guns there. And then Luke was rewarded. I mean, what a great little story. You know, he's done such a tremendous job, of doing the things we've asked him to do. You know, obviously a lot of people don't know what went on, and that's, you know, that'll stay inside the team, but we've asked a lot from Luke. He's done a great job with that on and off the ice. I mean, just really a different kid around our team and what he's doing, and our guys have all responded and appreciated it. And so really good to see him rewarded. And like you said, there's nothing overly pretty about it, but he plays with a reckless abandon, a strength to his game. We don't have a ton of guys that play that way, so we really need what he brings, and he's very good net front because he's a big, strong kid, and he's willing to pay the price there, and certainly got rewarded.
Yeah, certainly every goal was tough to call on Saturday night. It was a shot from the outside that was deflected every time, and you really can't see that from anywhere. You got to wait till they make an announcement, but we deflected every goal on Saturday night, which is really good news, and some really good plays in both games. I thought Clement made a great pass on Friday night to get the winning goal with 0.6 left in the hockey game. I looked at that clock right away as soon as they scored, and I saw nothing but zeros, but it takes a part of a second to look to the clock, so and it went back and found out there was 0.6 left. I've never seen that before, and I've been doing this for a long time, so that was really something there. Great play by Clement on that goal, and then some really good passes made and some good deflections of good shots on Saturday night. I thought Drapluck did the right thing, threw the puck with a wrister to the front of the net on that second goal, and resulted in a deflection.
Yeah, you know, and somebody out here mentioned tonight, like Al Globke just, you know, didn't mess around with it. Garrett made the great pass. I like, you know, Globes found the soft spot. He went to a good area, found the soft spot on Friday night. Garrett fed him, didn't overhandle it, didn't try to get too cute. He received it, put a great shot on net, and, you know, what a huge goal that was. So that was good. You mentioned the face-off goal there where Eric Drapluck had a little bit of poise. He had a little fake shot, got the forward coming out of him to the screen a little bit. Perfetto did a great job of keeping his stick free for the tip-in. That was a good goal. You know, the goal that I think it was Luke's first goal, just a beautiful play off the forecheck, and Scotty moved it over to Schmidt, who had a great one-timer. Again, you know, we talk a lot about playing above the puck, being in a great defensive position, which usually puts you in a good spot to create offense, and that was certainly a spot where Schmidt was reloading, we call it, high above the puck, and Chris turned it over, fed Schmidt for the shot. Luke was there net front for the tip, so really, really pleased about that. And you know, I'll credit Ned Zimmer, our director of hockey operations, and Eddie Bishop, our sports information director, along with Linda Bouvet. All these highlights are up on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our school website. So, you know, if you want to rewatch the goals, you didn't get a chance to see some or say what happened, they did a really good job of getting the highlight package together with two or three different angles. So you can really see, you know, Bill, you mentioned live. Sometimes it's hard to see it, but the different angles really help and see some of the good plays we made down there in the offensive zone.
Yeah, I think this team's very definitely improving, and getting a chance to play against a Bemidji rather than Mankato is a good move right now. It'll get tougher this weekend, but I think you can do well with Bowling Green. You can beat them. You got to play well, but we'll talk about that in a second here. I thought Saturday night you had some changes in the lineup. Andrew got banged up a little bit. We'll ask you about him and what the injury report is on him, if he'll be able to play this weekend. But Angus and Spratty came in and gave you a really good hockey game on Saturday night. I thought both of them did a good job.
Yeah, I think, you know, you dress three seniors and then one of your senior captains gets injured, can't play the next night. You know, you're not quite sure what to get, but I love what it says about our team, you know, and I like when you can make a change after a win and tell guys, hey, we're not content, that there's guys fighting to get in. So I thought that was healthy for us. You mentioned both those guys. I thought they played very well. You know, Spratty really had a great game in North Dakota before getting injured. And, you know, he's been cleared for a little bit. So he's skating well. He's seeing it well. He competes so hard and he skates so well. So that's a positive. And, you know, Jason Angus, I was a little down in his game live afterwards. Then when you watch the game back and, you know, take some of the emotion out and really get to break it down. He played a much better game than I thought live, and he's very good defensively and smart and responsible, and he did a good job. So it's interesting. We got some guys competing for some spots. You know, Zach Lesh is hungry to get back in. I think Zach did a lot of good things for us. You know, Jason Bird, we got taken out there, and Bird wants back in. So it's a very healthy competition right now for playing time.
Yeah, we had Ian Miller on for Get to Know Your Lakers on Saturday night, and of course he hasn't been in the lineup in a while, and he said that one of the comments he made I thought was pretty telling is that going to practice now with the Lakers is like a tryout. Every practice is like tryout. You gotta be on your game. You can't fool around because the coaches are watching what you're doing, and you're not going to play if you're not ready.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad it's sunk in with those guys because that's certainly the case. You know, we ask our guys to earn it every day if they want to play. And, you know, Ian had a tough break because, you know, he struggled for a while. Then we found out really late about the mono, and he's still trying to kind of get back and fight through that. I mean, that's so difficult on your body for a Division I athlete to have to fight through that and recover from that. So I actually had a really good day today as well. So Ian's right there. He's right in the mix. We need his game shape to improve a little bit from that illness.
Yeah, and you can only take a couple of extra skaters with you this weekend. We go to Bowling Green probably on Thursday morning, and somebody's going to get left behind. And right now, Miller's one of those guys who's out and trying to get in. Zach Lesh, you mentioned. Andrew Domet, Jason Bird didn't play on Saturday night. And then there's Nathan Harris, hasn't played in a few games. And Scottie Patterson still got the upper body injury that's keeping him out of the lineup. But all those guys want to play.
They do. You know, Scott Patterson will not be cleared, so he's not in the mix for this weekend. You know, we're anticipating Andrew Domet will be ready to play, and I would be much more surprised if he didn't play than if he did play. So I'm sure we'll get at least a game out of Andrew Domet. He's a warrior. Boy, he plays. He's strong. He's tough. And so I'm sure Domet will find a way to get in the lineup. And we need it against a big, strong Bowling Green team. And those other guys will evaluate. You know, we made some changes to our lineup for practice today, which is a real quick one from that game Saturday night as well. So it's a really healthy competition. And that's great. It's what we need. I mean, it should be that way. And I like Ian Miller's comment because that's what we tried to instill all year long.
Well, I think, too, on the game Saturday night, that first period Saturday night may have been the best period of the season. It was just, it was tremendous. It was, to watch the domination, you could have scored 6 goals.
No, that's the funny part, maybe the sad part, I guess, because we did. I mean, we had some quality chances. Now, they hit a post 2 or 3 minutes in off in our D-zone coverage. They had a point shot. We didn't block it. They hit a post. You know, who knows if that goes in, how that game shapes up. But minutes later, Al Globke, all alone, net front, had a great A, just an unbelievable scoring chance. And then a minute or two later, Zach McKay, again, all alone, or Austin McKay, sorry, all alone, had another great A. So we could have been up probably 3-1, 4-1, 5-1 after the first period. You know, we didn't really score in our best chances in that first period. And, no question, our best period of the year. And, you know, we talked a lot about Friday. I didn't love our game maybe going forward from there. We haven't had the lead much this year. And, you know, we've got to learn to play better with the lead and really lock things down. And, you know, we talked a lot. We didn't want to lay back. We didn't want to sit back. We wanted to continue to keep our foot on the pedal. But I didn't think we handled the lead as well as I'd like us to. And then Globke's goal was certainly a huge goal to get some momentum back and kind of make that big separation.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're about 17 minutes into this show tonight. We got a lot to talk about, so we'll take a couple of minutes here, and we'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. The Antlers on a cold Monday evening, and plenty warm in here, though. Great crowd on hand. Come on down and join us if you can. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got 8 questions from the fans who are here. I want to talk a little bit about Bowling Green before we get to those questions, though. The Falcons are a very good team, 14-4-4 overall, 10-2-2, and I think they're 2 points out of second place right now. They're right behind Michigan Tech in the standings, and they're going to be a tough test, but it's not a team that we shouldn't be able to beat.
Yeah, you know, they're a good team, no question about it, and I think they've got some games in hand in both Mankato and Michigan Tech, so they're going to be involved in that first place in the WCHA. You know, they're up there in the pairwise. They're up there in the national rankings. You know, they're not a real veteran-laden team either. They've got some younger guys. You know, we talked today. I thought Saturday night, especially, you know, we talked about that first period. We did a phenomenal job of managing the puck and getting pucks behind their defensemen on a rush, playing in their zone. And then that'll be key this weekend. You know, I think our skating, the way our forwards can skate against the matchup with their defensemen, if we can get pucks behind them and play in their zone, you know, I think we can take advantage of some areas there. They've played three goaltenders over the year, and then they kind of rotate their three goalies. All of them have very good numbers. So, you know, that'll be key for us is getting pucks behind them. And then, as you mentioned, Bill, earlier, getting those Luke Sanders to the net, getting Mitch Darty to the net, having guys in the paint and getting pucks to the paint will be a big point of emphasis.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting series Friday and Saturday nights down at Bowling Green. We've been going there for a long, long time. They got a kid in their lineup, a freshman by the name of Brandon Hawkins, who has 9 goals and 16 points. He's one of their leading scorers.
Yeah, he's a pure goal scorer. You know, a lot of us, you know, you get to see him playing junior hockey quite a bit, and you know, he can score. You know, he's a guy a little bit like Alzier last year. You know, he plays with some good players, and he goes to the right areas. People put the puck on a stick, and he knows what to do with it. So he's definitely a natural goal scorer, and he's having a great freshman year.
And as usual, their best scorers are the little water bug guys who run around. Kevin Dufour is another one with 10 goals so far this season. And they got some quick people. Dejan Mingo hasn't really scored much, but he's another fast player that you got to keep an eye on.
You know, they've got a great balance of that. They've got, as I mentioned, Mingo and Dufour, but they also have those size guys too. Cooper and some of those guys.
Murphy,
they've got a big team.
Tate.
They play heavy. They play strong. And so, yeah, we'll have to be ready to go. And that's why a guy like Andrew Domet, you want Domet in your lineup because he's big and strong. You know, Zach Lesch was with the line today that we would anticipate to play. We like his size and skating against them. So, you know, we've got to be ready to play. We got to match their physicality and play heavy like they do. And like I said, I like our chances. I like where we're at as a team. We've gotten a lot better, and we're going down to win a WCHA game.
Okay, we got an alumni gathering this weekend, too. We've had a lot of alumni gatherings even on the road this season, and we are going to have one on Saturday between 5 and 6:30 before the hockey game. It'll be downtown, and we don't stay downtown, but we'll try to get there anyway. Jed's Fireballs and Brew, they have great food there, and they got a lot of specials for us. And Susan Fitzpatrick, our alumni director, will be there. And that'll be, again, 5 till 6:30 on Saturday before Game 2 at Bowling Green. And we got an announcement, too, on Northern Michigan. We'll hold that till a little bit later in our program. Let's get to the questions from the fans who are here tonight. There are some great questions here. I don't know how much you know about Pink and the Rink, but the question that I was texted today is how much money was made at Pink and the Rink, and how much money specifically from the jersey sales was made at Pink and the Rink?
Great question. I'm going to just go back to the social real quick. For those who will be there and don't know, you know, I do get over there for a little bit. You know, I obviously have some game night responsibilities about 5 o'clock, but I'll get over to Judd's there for a good 15, 20 minutes and get to interact. A lot of players' families get over there as well, so it is a nice little event to be around Laker fans down in the area and the players' parents. And again, I get over there for a little bit. So if you're down there, make sure you get to Jed's. You know what? I haven't looked at the numbers. I mean, there's been so much going on. I think it did much better than I think the organizer of the event. 17,000 I'm getting mouthed in the background at. So I just found out it made $17,000. I don't have it broken down for jersey sales, but, you know, again, for a group taking it over a little bit, we were really happy with the turnout, and, you know, the community supports it so well. It was an amazing event. You know, for my first time through it, I thought it was a great weekend for that cause and for the community.
Okay, that's great. Do we know what we made on jersey sales alone? Because those are a pretty popular item. I would think most of them got sold, and they did it in a unique way this year that made it easier for people to bid.
Yeah, and that was really an oversight from the ordering, because NCAA rules, you're not allowed to sell it with a player's name on. And these all came with players' names, so it changed the process a little bit. But I know it turned out really well. And like you said, I think everybody who wanted them was able to be accommodated, and it actually worked out really well that way. So now we'll have a decision next year if we're going to offer one and bid up some prices, or offer them to everybody and have everybody involved in it.
Yeah, and while we're on my favorite subject, NCAA problems and violations, et cetera, I've been asked by a lot of people in the last week or so. I've been called. I've been approached by people who see me at the rink, et cetera. They want to know if we could have Abby Rock come on the show or have her on between periods and talk to her about her gold medal winning performance with the under-18s. We can't do that, and it's because it would be a violation by the institution, because Lake Superior State University cannot interview athletes who are prospects, even if they're not going to be a prospect at Lake Superior State. It would be a violation. So I can't talk to her on this show. We can't talk to her on our Laker hockey programs, on our game days, et cetera, between periods. However, the radio station can talk to her, so they're going to have her in on Perspective some morning, and they'll probably have her on a Sioux High broadcast since she plays for the Blue Devils. And I know that she's already been interviewed by the other station that does Sioux High hockey, but that's okay to do that. That's not Lake Superior State University. So the institution has to watch what it does when it comes to prospects, so we can't actually have Abby come on here and talk to us about that performance. But that was a tremendous thing, and you know, I was part of the guys who won it last spring over in Finland. I went over and broadcast all their games on Fast Hockey, and that's a great thing. It's like winning an Olympics, and Abby should be very, very proud, and this town should be very, very proud of her. It's tremendous for somebody to get on one of those teams from a small community like this and then win the gold medal.
Oh, yeah, to win a gold medal, what a special thing. So it's too bad we can't have her on, or, you know, hopefully we can recognize her at some point. And I was wondering that, because it's a female, we don't have a female hockey team. You think maybe there wouldn't be a violation, but those are the rules we abide by or try to. But, you know, what a special accomplishment for Abby and her family.
Yeah, and we congratulate Jim and Julia and Abby and Emma. That's great. And, you know, she's going to – that girl's going to go to school for free somewhere and play a lot of hockey in her college career. All right, here's another comment. People ask about this one all the time. I've said before, we're going to have to get Tom Coates or Chris Dunbar on here some night to talk about it. The Taffy Able renovation project, nobody ever says anything about it. We don't hear anything about it. And people are asking here tonight, is it still at least on a back burner somewhere so something can be done?
Well, there's movement. There's progress. I mean, there's really nothing official to be announced. But, you know, it's we're moving forward. We're hopeful on some things. And I guess until it's, you know, more official this time around, there will be nothing formal on it. So there's been real positive conversations. There's been some things on campus that have happened that all look very positive. But again, you know, obviously I don't know the whole situation a few years back. It was a little too early. So we're hopeful, and there's been some real good progress and real good movement. But until there's a formal announcement, we'll just leave it at that, I guess.
Okay, I love this next question. This is a good one. I've wondered about it myself, but somebody else has asked it. So let's get into it. If Bauer is the exclusive sponsor of Laker hockey, like we have announcements on it every game, why do the goalies wear CCM equipment?
Well, I mean, it's a strange position. And, you know, those guys, we want to make sure our players are comfortable. So even, you know, if Mitch wants to wear a different pair of skates, I won't even mention a brand, but, you know, we try to accommodate those guys. So I think we have one or two guys maybe not in Bauer skates. So part of our licensing agreement, you do have to have an X amount of players wearing the skates or, you know, the sticks or whatnot. But obviously our helmets, gloves, pants are all Bauer. You want your goaltenders to feel comfortable and use the equipment they're used to. So, you know, I think they like to have one or two in the Bauer equipment. They can have a little bit of flexibility if you have guys who aren't used to that gear or whatever. But, you know, you don't want your goaltenders coming in and not used to that gear and wearing something that they're not comfortable in and can't perform in. So that's why they're in the other equipment.
Okay, another one. I had this on my list, too, because I thought this was hilarious both nights, especially Saturday night. Who was the little boy with the giant faces of Coach Witten, Stephen Perfetto, and Gordy Dayfield? He was over on the east side of the building most of the night. I know who it was, and I'm an old guy, but I know that those are called fatheads. And I thought it was hilarious. The first one I looked over and I saw the kid with it was you. And I thought, I hope they have all three coaches, because I'm going to make sure those are on the side of our bus when we go to Bowling Green.
Well, after the first period, he came down to our bench and he was tapping on the glass, and I looked over my head and saw myself. And, you know, if the stress from Friday night wasn't enough, that almost put me over the top. But, had a chance to meet Brendan after the game, and he came down the locker room and got some autographs. And, he was at both basketball games that day. He had Coach Hedinga and then Coach Rogers and everybody's fat head at those. So, and some of the players from their team. So big Laker fan, and it was pretty funny to see. And I'll try to steal mine and burn mine and let them have the players.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was hilarious, and that's Vince Gross's son, Brandon, and they're from Brimley, and they're great Laker fans. And I saw that over there in the first period on Saturday night. I just laughed the whole game after that. What are your thoughts on the state of college hockey, especially with Arizona State coming into the Division I ranks next year?
Yeah, it seems, you know, everybody seems there's more movement coming up. You know, some of the travel issues and then maybe some cost containment, you might call it. There still seems to be some shuffling on the horizon for some areas. I think it's a little bit early to tell who's going where and what's going to happen. But you know, obviously the state of the game's great. I mean, the parity, you know, sometimes they talk about the big schools and in a certain conference, and you look at our record against that conference, other conferences, and, you know, we'll put that right up there. You know, we have, I think, three of the top 10 teams in the pairwise ranking, the top team being Mankato. So it's been a great year for our league, and you know, it's a great league. Like, I'll put, you know, Mike Casing's Mankato team. Now, the bad part about college hockey sometimes is it's a one game elimination. So, you know, I was part of some good teams that, you know, we had four losses all year, but couldn't win at the right time of the year. So it's not about the best team always in college hockey. It's a one game elimination. So, you know, Ferris last year is a good example. They really controlled that game against North Dakota's at semifinals or quarterfinals in the NCAA. Didn't get the win, but I think it's in a great place. You know, they're exciting games. You know, boy, we were on the road there last week, an hour earlier. You get on the TV and you can pick four, five, six games a night to watch on TV. The WCHA TV is awesome. You know, we had the 7 o'clock start, Michigan Tech had a 5 o'clock start on Saturday. So we're in the locker room in between all our prep, have Michigan Tech Bowling Green game rolling so we can watch PG and watch what's going on. So, I think the WCHA is in a great year, and I think college hockey is in a good spot.
Yeah, I think it is too, and it's going to be interesting to see where Arizona State lands. I would think the National Collegiate Hockey Conference would be the obvious place for them, but there are a lot of people who think WCHA, and certainly they're not going to be in Hockey East or the ECAC, so we're going to have to go into one of the other two. They're not going to be in the Big Ten either. Stat sheets looking good for Gordy Dayfield these days since he got contact lenses at Christmas. I think everybody's kind of heard that story a few times, but you know, it is a big deal. If you've got an astigmatism in one of your eyes, contact lenses can be a real problem. I know from experience on that. I've got a different prescription in my glasses than I do in contact lenses. So Gordy went through that. He got it straightened out at Christmas, and he is seeing the puck better, I would think. He's certainly played better. The fan here points out he's got a 1.81 goals against average in the last six games.
Yeah, I know. I haven't broken it down, so if that's accurate, that includes, you know, again, a road trip down to the number one team in the country against Mankato. So he's been great, you know, and we talked about those three shutouts with such a young D-core. You know, next year if we have a new goalie, I'd make sure we check their eyes right away. Okay, Bill? Might help us.
We had this problem before. I've talked about that too. Bruce Hoffert, he needed to get contact lenses about a month and a half into the season when he was here, and we won a national championship with him backstopping us in 1988. So, just saying.
So we're in a good spot.
That's what we're looking for. Injury report. Fans always want to know about that. We've talked a little bit about Domet. We think he'll be back in the lineup this weekend for sure. The only other one that I know of is Scott Patterson. He will not be back in the lineup this weekend.
Yeah, Scott's not back with the team yet. He was on the ice today on his own, just doing some conditioning and working. He's getting closer. You know, hopefully we'd love to have him back for the blue gold game at Polar on the 31st. So hopefully Scott will be back, and that'll give us a full lineup for that event and trying to, you know, keep our game conditioning level up and guys battling for spots. But beyond that, we're healthy. Domet did not practice with the team today. He skated on his own, and we hope he'll be back in full go tomorrow with the team.
Okay, that's most of the questions. We may have one we can hang on to for a little bit later in the show, but we want to get Mitch Nardi in here since he is with us tonight. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Mitch Nardi right after this on ESPN 1400. Alrighty, we're back at the Antlers, our third segment of the show tonight, and as advertised, we have Mitchell Nardi joining us here, and one of the players. We have a player on just about every week. We certainly like that. It gives the fans a chance to learn something about the players on this team, and Mitch, it's been a pretty good season for you so far, especially the last maybe six or eight games where you've kind of solidified the line. You got the same line mates most of the time. You've had some really good success, scored a big goal at Mankato, and you got to be feeling pretty good about the way things are going right now in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun so far being back for the second half after Christmas break, especially playing with guys like Al Gwoki and Daniel Vernace of late since Scotty Patterson has gone out with injury. But it's been fun so far, and we've had some line success.
Yeah, it's a tough situation right now. We talked first half a little bit there with Coach Witten about how there are a lot of guys who are struggling to get in the lineup right now, and we saw a couple of them get in on Saturday night, and they fit right in. Angus and Spratty did a really good job. I think you guys are pretty much all agreed that just about anybody could step in any night and play, and it's not a matter of some guys are never going to play again.
No, I mean, I think everyone has a really good work ethic, and Coach Witten and the coaching staff they've brought in a great competitive edge to practice day in and day out, and I mean, with guys like Pete Spratty and Jason Angus stepping into the lineup, I mean, they've got a great work ethic and they can step in whenever.
Yeah, that line you're with right now, Vernacci, doesn't hurt you guys a bit. He's a pretty good skater and, he's got an uncanny ability too, Daniel, to kind of get right in the right spot all the time. Globke kind of has that too. He showed us that on Friday night, but, Vernacci seems like he gets, to me, 4, 5, maybe 6 good scoring chances a game because he's always in the right spot.
Yeah, you know, we had a good laugh about that after Saturday night's game, and we were talking as a line after the game and just going over a few things, and he's a slippery player. He gets into the scoring chance that he had maybe 3 or 4 shots alone Friday and Saturday, so he's a good player, and he really chimes in with our line with me and Al.
Yeah, how do you look at that situation? I was going to ask you that, too. Do you guys sit down together and talk about, do you break a game down for yourselves when it's over and say, hey, we could have done this differently or that differently or let's try this or something? Do you talk together like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we do it as a team, as a collective whole, but you always want to sit down with the players that you're playing with, whether it's your line is together for a long time or whether it's just temporary, but you always like to sit down and go over what your strengths and weaknesses are throughout the game.
Yeah, you know, you are, to me, Mitch Nardi's a pretty good playmaker, but a very good skater. I think skating's probably the strength of your game, and you get out there, you got a really shifty big guy in Globke who gets open quite easily, too, and then you got Vernacci who's kind of sneaking around getting to the open spots as well. So it makes it good for you as a centerman.
Yeah, whenever you have a big body like Al Globke, he can protect the puck and really keep the puck down low and in kind of grindy areas, it's always kind of nice for your other two line mates. But you know, it's funny. We've been having a lot of fun with it right now, and we really build off each other, and the chemistry's been really good so far.
Yeah. Now, defensively, what's your job as a centerman? I know I kind of know what it is, but tell the folks what are your responsibilities in the defensive zone.
I mean, starting with the first play of the game, the first drop of the puck is to win the faceoff for sure and give our team possession to start a shift. But you know what? With our D zone, it really changes. We don't really have a set centerman or set winger or anything like that. We're kind of all over the place and we work as a 5-man unit. So I don't really have any set duties, but we work together as a line.
Well, a lot of times on our team, and it's happened this way over the years too, is that the centerman will be right down in front of the net trying to help out, moving the puck out, and a lot of times Stephen Perfetto, yourself, Austin McKay will block a shot or pick a puck off in front and get it out of there. And that's an area where you want to be.
Yeah, it's funny. We have a nickname for it. It's called State Farm. It's kind of like our insurance spot, and I guess just the way the play develops, I guess a lot of the time the centerman is there, but it's probably our most important spot in the D zone.
Yeah, State Farm, eh? Why State Farm? Why not Progressive or Geico?
I don't know. Maybe they're the best insurance company. I have no idea. I guess that's a question for Coach.
Yeah, my daughter says they are. She works for them. Anyway, let's move on with something else here. Now, it's a... You're a sophomore at this point. What sort of things are you checking into school-wise? Most of our guys are some sort of business major because it kind of fits the scheduling a little bit better, but is that your area?
Yeah, actually it is. I'm a business marketing major, and I've got a few economic classes this semester and just getting a few of my gen eds out of the way. And yeah, I mean, it seems like all the guys are in some sort of business, so it's good to have a couple of the other guys in classes with you. So.
Yeah, we always have a few guys with exercise science or fire science or something that kind of throws a monkey wrench into things, but a lot of business majors. How are things going for you in school? You doing all right?
Yeah, good. I had a really good
Are you eligible?
yeah. At least I think so. No, I had a really good, all kidding aside, I had a really good semester last semester, and look to improve, so.
Yeah, this past weekend, couple of wins on the home ice, first sweep we've had in a year, and that was great. I think you guys probably really enjoyed ringing the bell, not once, but two nights in a row, and then throwing those t-shirts into the stands. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. It was really big for, especially obviously the WCHA standings and staying in the hunt, but I mean, for team morale, I mean, the guys love winning at home, and it's so fun ringing the bell and just the tradition around Laker hockey. So it was a really big weekend for the guys.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys on this team, if you look at the media guide on Laker hockey, a lot of the guys will say their favorite thing about Laker hockey and traditions, et cetera, is that bell ringing after a victory.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite things to do. It's just, there's so much tradition behind it, and the guys that have rang the bell before you and some of the alumni, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was two big wins. You know, we talked with Coach Witten a minute ago too. Every goal Saturday night was a deflection goal. The preaching about getting into the paint area, getting around the front of the net, it's paying off.
It is, and I mean, it's definitely not the funnest place to go to get goals, but I mean, Luke Sandler had two really nice goals this weekend, and he really made a difference coming back into the lineup, and it's a place where you have to go to score goals.
Yeah, it is pretty competitive, too. We talked about this earlier, too. We had Ian Miller on as our guest on Get to Know Your Lakers on Saturday night, and he said, hey, every day at Laker hockey, it's a tryout. You gotta be there to go and practice or you're not going to play.
Yeah, for sure. And our coaching staff has definitely preached checking in every day and trying to put, for those few hours of the day, trying to put your schooling aside or whatever is on your mind aside and just trying to be a hockey player and be as much of a pro as you can and coming in and giving it your all.
Yeah, and I think a lot of road trips this season. This team has come together pretty well. There's a lot of camaraderie with this crew, and that happens when you make these long, long trips. These sleeper buses, et cetera, have got some good there, and it brings teams together. And this weekend, Bowling Green. What do we know about the Falcons? Should be, if nothing else, it'll be a great test.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, like they're, I think they're what now five maybe in the country, but after the pairwise and the polls came out, but I mean they're a good team. They're, like Coach said earlier, he said their record was somewhere around 14-4-2 or whatever it was, but yeah, they're going to be a good team and they've got a lot of spark plug like Firebug players, smaller players, but they got a lot of big bodies like Mark Cooper and Ben Murphy and guys like that. So it's going to be a really good test for the Lakers going on the road.
Now, you've been playing hockey your whole life. You come up through the ranks playing in your own area at first, but you get to know all these guys. How familiar are Laker hockey players with guys who play on other teams? I noticed the other night after the game, there was a lot of real like slapping of the helmet and stuff like that between various guys who obviously they know each other.
Yeah,
maybe you were on the same team 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's funny. I got the chance to play with Phil Brewer, the captain of Bemidji. He was my captain my first year in Ontario for the Burlington Cougars. But hockey's such a small circle, and wherever you go, you're gonna know guys that move on to different levels and different teams. And I was fortunate enough to play in a league in British Columbia that was pretty far away from home, so I got to meet a lot of those guys out there and different guys like that, like a lot of other guys on our team too. So, I mean, hockey's just such a small circle.
Yeah, we've asked you this one before too. You did play out in the BC Junior League before you came to Lake Superior State, but you're from Hamilton, Ontario, so you went a long way away. How did you end up going to BC to play?
There was a trade that happened and I kind of looked into it. I had a couple friends that played out there and said it was a great league to, I hadn't committed to Lake State at the time, and there was a lot of guys that I know that went out there and they did commit. So, you know what, I was looking for an adventure, I guess, and I don't know if my parents were too thrilled about it at first, moving away right out after high school, but I got to meet some of my best friends out there and I got to live with a great Billet family, or two great Billet families. I got to play in West Kelowna too, but it was just such a fun time for me at that age.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for joining us here tonight, and good luck this weekend against Bowling Green.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, Mitch Nardi joining us here tonight. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Damon Witten right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for the final segment of the show tonight, and we want to thank everybody who's here for turning out tonight. Great turnout as usual. We've had great crowds all season here at the Antlers. I know Chris Sable, our sponsor, really appreciates that too. Before we get back into talking hockey with Damon, I want to mention before I forget about it, the Blue Liners do have tickets for the games at Northern Michigan that are coming up in February. That will be a huge road series there. They've got to sell 20 tickets for each night, though, to get a special price on those tickets of $10 per ticket, which is pretty darn good at Barrie Events Center. So contact Chris. That's probably Chris Lettergerber at 906-248-5732, 248-5732,
And again, they've got to sell 20 tickets for each game in order to get that special price on tickets. And that'll be a huge series. I think every series is going to be huge. I kind of looked ahead. I like to cheat on things like this. And I looked at Anchorage today, and I looked at Alabama Huntsville and Lakers. And I really think Lake Superior State's going to be in the playoffs. They have tough schedules, so do we, but I think we're going to accumulate more points than either one of those teams going down the stretcher.
Well, that's certainly the plan, Bill, and I've done the same. I've looked at everybody's schedules and see who's going where, and then certainly, there's some head-to-head in there, so they both can't get points, and it's going to be a battle, you know. I mean, that's the maybe the one downside of this weekend. You hope you climb the ladder, but then, Anchorage held serve and Huntsville held serve. So we got our work cut out for ourselves after that first half, but I like we're playing our best hockey. We're getting better, and we're learning how to finish and do a lot of good things. And, we didn't bring it up, but I got some notes on our special teams. Again, long way to go, but there's some life there. And our power play over the last six games, our penalty kill, if you can magically get rid of that one game at Mankato, our penalty kill has been very good, and the power play is coming alive a little bit too. So we've won special teams battles, I think, three of our last four or five games, and when you can do that, you give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, the power play has been a real bugaboo all season. Rich told me before the game on Friday night, we're going to get two tonight. You didn't get two, but you did get one, and it was the only one you needed. And that was a big goal.
Yeah, it was.
We finally found somebody open in front.
Yep, and we finished, because we had guys open earlier too. So again, yeah, it was a good execution, and I think everybody thought we were heading overtime, and we played the full 60 minutes. And it's funny, Zach Lesh reminded me, I think yesterday, of it when I had the chance to come up and interview. One of the things we talked about was that Minnesota game from a couple of years ago in the NCAA when they tied it up with 6 seconds left or points. I don't know what it was, 1 or 2 seconds left, and said how important it is to play 60 minutes. Every second counts when you train this summer, when you come back in, and there we were, with under 1 second to go. So it was kind of a nice little fitting end of that story with the guys.
Yeah, it's good stuff that's coming down here, and this team is playing better. I was really, really happy with the fact that we got the tough goals on Saturday night, all of them deflections up in front of the net. That's what we need right there, is to create some traffic and cash in around that goal. I wanted to ask a recruiting question tonight. I get asked this one a lot. We announced in November, and we can use their names because they've all signed national letters of intent, but we've got we signed Ian Johnston along with Anthony Nellis, Brian Basilko, Gage Terrell, and Diego Cuglietta. I can't wait for him to get here, by the way. And he's playing out in BC right now. They're all forwards, and that's going to create a tremendous amount of competition on this team for playing time, because you're only going to lose two forwards or three forwards to a graduation. All your seniors are forwards. Chris Ciotti, along with Steven Perfetto and Andrew Domit. So three guys go out the door, and all these guys are coming in. You've already got guys trying to get in the lineup all the time. It's going to be a very competitive training camp in fall next year.
Yeah, which is what you try to create for sure, And we were talking off the air, Ian Johnson's leading his team as a 97 birth year out in Canada, and, he'll probably need some more seasoning. He needs to put a little bulk on and maybe, look to maybe move to a different league potentially. Nellis, I haven't checked after this weekend, but he's either first or second in his entire league in scoring, and with the teammate right ahead of him or right next to him. So Anthony's had a great year. Really like the vision he brings, the puck touches. He shoots to score. He's got a natural goal scoring ability. He actually runs their power play from up top as a forward at times as well. So Nellis brings a lot of good dimensions. Gage Terrell was up to fifth or sixth in the BCHL in scoring. So Gage is playing good hockey. Diego had a hat trick just the other day there. So Diego's playing good hockey. Diego led his team in scoring last year. He's missed 6 or 7 games with some injuries, so he's second or third in his team in scoring, but points per game average, he's right at the top of his team as well. So yeah, we're trying to bring in some skating ability, some skill. I think people see the way we're trying to play, and obviously when you're out recruiting, you better find the players that fit that style of play, and I think Rich and Pete have done a great job of doing that.
Okay, but all those guys except Johnson will be coming in next year.
But it's up in the air, okay. Diego has to come in, Nellis has to come in, Brian's a 95, so there's the ability to go back, and part of it depends, it's a crazy world, Al's obviously playing better hockey now, but there might be an NHL team that says, Al Gopke is not developing, we're going to sign him and get him out of here, or Al might continue to have a great year and he might sign, or, whoever it is. I mean, you don't know these days. So, part of what a lot of schools have done are making sure they're prepared in case of these early departures, or not even in case, when they're happening. Well, they have